Welcome to the second audio session of Motivate Your Child Action Plan. Joanne, I just got to tell you, I really like this definition of a heart quality that you put in this chapter. This is an amazing definition of a heart quality. I'm going to be using this everywhere we go, whenever we teach now. I'm going to use this definition. You put here that a heart quality is a pattern of thinking and acting in response to a challenge. How did you come up with that anyway?
Well, I was just trying to figure out, what is character anyway? We want our children to be children of good character. We don't want them to have poor character. But what is the difference? What does character do for us? And as I imagined character, I was thinking, well, children who have a good character respond in a particular way. They're in the pattern of responding. They have a tendency to act in a particular way that's good and helpful and constructive, particularly when they're challenged in areas. So the child who is patient is going to be responding to the challenges in a patient way. The child who has integrity responds to challenges in a particular way. And that's what we're looking for in our kids.
And I would suggest that this particular definition is very practical, because if we start with that first part, a pattern of thinking, or a pattern even, it talks about a tendency. And so, parents, I would just suggest, as you're listening to this, if you're trying to figure out what the heart problem is with your child, then think in terms of tendencies. If your child has a tendency to react in anger when you say no, that's a heart problem. If your child has a tendency to punch his brother, that's a heart problem. And so when we can identify these tendencies, then that can really help us identify where we need to work and what kind of new response patterns that we can develop with our kids.
I think this helps us as parents to identify the patterns, because what we're saying is not an every individual problem needs to be addressed necessarily. The child reacts in a particular way. If it's just a fluke, you know, that they're unkind once, it's not a big deal. But if they have a pattern of being unkind, then we need to address that. And so we're looking for the patterns, the tendencies, and that's going to give us direction of where we need to work on the child's heart.
I like the idea that they're in response to a challenge. So our kids face challenges regularly. And that idea of challenge is what we talk about in this chapter when we identify the arena in step five. So as parents are trying to identify that arena, they got to figure out, where does the challenge take place? Sometimes parents will say, I have a problem with my child because he's disrespectful. And when we narrow that down and we say to a child, to the parent, where is your child disrespectful? And what do you mean? Give me an example. And they say, well, every time I give him an instruction, he doesn't pay attention to what I'm saying. Okay, now we have an arena. We have the following instructions arena. And we identify that arena for kids, then we're able to see that that's the challenging area for them that they need to develop a new pattern to address.
The reality is, when life is going well, good character is not so important. We can all respond well in easy situations. It's when the challenges come that our character is really tested. And that's what we want to be equipping our children for, the challenges of life, to respond well in the midst of challenge.
And I like it. The pattern is a pattern of thinking and acting, because we want our children to behave well. We want them to have the right kind of actions to meet the challenges that they face. But they also need to think well, think rightly about the particular situation, because when they're thinking rightly, then it's going to result in right action. So the thinking and acting are good. So a pattern of thinking and acting in response to a challenge. I love it.
So that's where we're going to be working toward with our children, looking at the patterns in their lives and helping them to change the patterns. And we'll see the character grow out of that.
Now, one more thing before we leave this idea. I think that parents also are trying to develop character. They're trying to grow. And so many parents come to me and say, I'm the problem, or I want to learn how to respond better to my kids. And so this definition, a pattern of thinking and acting in response to a challenge, is great for parents, because the challenge in many cases is their child, they'll say. But I'll say, what do you mean with your child? You always yell at your child? No, only when he starts complaining. Well, then the complaining area is the challenge area. And we want to help you develop a pattern of thinking and acting in response to the complaining that's going to be more nurturing and productive. And I would suggest that's what this whole chapter, or maybe this whole book, is about, helping parents develop new strategies, new patterns of thinking in their way of dealing with challenges that they face with their own kids.
And so we're going to be helping parents, I think, as we work with developing plans for our children. I think as parents, we're going to grow in our response to our kids because we have a plan, we know where we're headed, and it's going to develop character in our own hearts as well.
Now, as you look at this particular chapter, what we've tried to do here is get us started. It's a little bit of an analysis process. Some parents say, oh, I already know what's wrong with my kids. They don't obey or they don't listen when I tell them what to do. And maybe you do know enough about it, but I think if we can spend a little bit of time here analyzing the situation, then we'll be much more effective at addressing the problem with some appropriate solutions. Now, in order to do that, we have to take it apart a bit. There are those other parents who are just so frustrated because there's so many things wrong with their kids that they are just overwhelmed, they don't know where to start. And in that case, this process of laying things out and identifying the problem and going through these five steps is going to be most effective for them.
I think this chapter is helpful for the parent who feels overwhelmed, doesn't know where to start. I think it's helpful for the parent who has got a lot of emotion going on, and this is going to objectify the problem. Let's get this down on paper. We're not going to be just subjective about, hey, I feel this way or that way. I feel frustrated with my child. But now we're going to be objective. What are the problems? Let's take a look at the specific situations that are problem areas, and let's use them to work toward creating a plan.
Throughout this book, there are opportunities for you to write down your answers or your solutions. And in many cases, we've left enough room for that. In this case, I don't think we did. We probably need two or three pages for parents to write down the problem. And I would just suggest that it's often good for parents to take a blank sheet of paper and just start jotting down all of the examples or all of the behaviors that a child has. These are specific actions and specific behaviors, not writing down he's selfish, but really writing down he grabs things from his brother. The idea here is that we're looking for the actions, the behavior that the child's doing that's wrong.
This is helpful, I think, to just get down to the concrete. What am I seeing that concerns me? What's going on in family life that creates a problem? I think sometimes as parents, we jump to conclusions and we start labeling our child, but we're going to step back now and just take a piece of paper and write down the particular situations that are causing stress, that are causing unrest, that are concerning you as a parent. Write them down on a piece of paper.
I just think this is helpful for parents. This is, of course, not anything you'll show to your child. But just jotting down all of these things starts to objectify the problem. So now instead of just reacting, now you're starting to see it on paper and it's starting to make some sense. Just making the list, even before we go to step number two, making the list is helpful because it puts those things down and you'll be able to add to it over the next few days, weeks, months. You'll add to your list as you're trying to develop some better solutions.
And I think sometimes just writing it down on paper can help us as parents. We feel like, okay, this is it. Now I'm going somewhere. I've got a plan. I just need to look at the problem more carefully. So take a day or two to write down the problem.
And I think studying our kids is a good idea. If you watch them for a little bit, you'll learn some different things about them, what they do. And so this first step is really valuable. Let's go on to the second step.
Second step now is to take a look at your list and group them, group the problems, group the behaviors around particular common themes. If the child is always grabbing, or the child is hitting, the child is using his mouth inappropriately, what are the patterns you see on that list?
Now, that's going to be helpful, again, because as soon as you start grouping them, you're going to group them around particular areas. Like, you might decide he's selfish at this point, or maybe he has a poor response to authority, or maybe he has an anger issue. Once we start identifying these particular groups, it simplifies all of the list quite a bit. So now instead of having 50 different behavior problems, now we have maybe four or five different heart problems that need to be addressed.
And this, of course, can be very freeing for us as parents. We realize, oh, we just have five things to work on, not 50. So identifying the common themes, the patterns, identifying a particular area of weakness is going to give us some direction as we move forward.
Now, this third step as we move there is very important, and sometimes parents struggle with this a bit. I'd encourage you to take a look at a list of character qualities and say, what character quality would be good for my child to develop? Avoid some of the broad ones. There are broad qualities like responsibility or maturity or something like that. Those are great. But when we put those down, sometimes they aren't defined enough. You can still use those, but if you're going to use those particular words, you're going to want to make sure they're really clear, and we'll define them more clearly in step four. But it's often better if we use qualities like patience, thoughtfulness, responsiveness to authority, or contentment, gratefulness. Those kind of qualities are very helpful for children to learn and to benefit from.
As we look through the different qualities we might choose for step number three, we want to be thinking positively now. What is going to help my child to overcome the weaknesses that we're experiencing? What's going to help my child to meet the challenges in his or her life? What's the positive quality that's going to be helpful here? If my child develops this quality, we're not going to see these problems. The child's going to have what it takes to overcome, to meet the challenges that are coming.
What we're trying to do is help kids to have a handle on this. This is something you will share with your child. Sometimes parents say, do I tell my kids about the plan we're working on? Well, yes, and we have a point at the end of every one of the chapters in the book. Have a meeting with your child. We want to emphasize the fact that meeting with your child regularly is good. Now, these aren't always meetings that are negative. Many times these meetings are meetings that are very positive, and we're trying to help children understand what they need to be doing or affirm them for where they're going. All of those are good. Meetings are very important, and you do want to share with your child the plan so your child knows where he's going or where she's going in order to move toward this point B that we talk about.
And so it gives a positive focus to the plan. Now we're not just getting rid of a problem. We're not telling the child to stop doing a particular thing. Now we have a positive focus. This is where we're headed. We're working on obedience. We're working on patience. We're working on thoughtfulness for others. And those are the kind of words we want to be using throughout the day as we're working with our child. So identifying what that positive quality is and how we're going to work that into our vocabulary is going to be helpful as we move forward here.
What we want to do is go back to our point A and point B strategy. Point A is the problem that we're trying to work on with our kids. It's either the heart quality or the behavior problems, however you want to look at that. That's where we are now. And we want to move our child to point B, which is going to be the heart quality they need to grow in. And there'll be specific behaviors and thinking patterns attached to that. So once we know where we're going, then we'll be able to move forward. So the first thing we're trying to do in step three is identify the heart quality. We're trying to identify the target. Here's what my child would benefit in developing, and it will help them to move forward. You know, it's a lot like what happens at work when you get a performance evaluation. And the performance evaluations that are most effective at work are the ones that identify skills that you can develop or patterns or qualities that you can develop in your life, not just specific tasks. And so the same thing's happening here. We're trying to help a child see, here's where you're going, here's what we want to help you do. But then in step four now, we're going to move to identifying specific wording, behaviors, definitions that apply to the child to make it relevant for them.
And this is going to take some thoughtfulness, of course, on our part as parents, but it's a way to put hands and feet to where we're going with the child. Put some real specifics into the definition that we create for this character quality. This is not a general definition. It's a very specific definition for our child, taking into account the challenges the child experiences, the areas of challenge, and how do we want the child to overcome those challenges? What is it going to look like? So we're going to create a working definition for the quality that's focused toward our child.
I was working with a child this week, and the child interrupts. The child has a problem with impulsivity, and he has a number of issues related to that impulsivity. But one of the things he does is he just barges into the room and takes over control. And it's very irritating for mom in particular, because she's engaged with another child or engaged with her husband, or she's on the phone, and her son just feels like he can walk in and demand the attention of the whole room. So the heart quality she wanted to share with her son was sensitivity. And she defined it this way. Sensitivity is when you walk into a room, you look around first before you talk. The idea is she wants him to stop and think about the appropriate time to interrupt and how to do that. So I would suggest that that's a very specific thing.
So sensitivity can be looking and listening before I speak when I enter into the room. It makes it very practical for children. Another practical working definition would be maybe perseverance, is hanging in there until when you feel like quitting. What we want to do is make it very specific for the child.
That specific approach is going to start bringing some practical elements to where the child's going. If we can help the child know where he's going and we can tie that in specifically, then the child will start thinking differently and hopefully acting differently in response to the challenges that are faced.
So maybe if a child is working on neatness, they're going to turn around and look before they leave a room to see if they've cleaned up their mess. So that's part of the definition then for neatness for that particular child.
A child who's having a hard time responding to authority by ignoring instructions, or parents have to tell them several times, may need to have a definition that says, when I hear my name called, I need to start moving toward my mom. It's very practical because it's a responsiveness to authority. So think in terms of your child. This isn't something you're going to get out of a book. We can't list for you all kinds of practical working definitions for your child. You have to come up with them yourself, but tie them into your first list of identifying the problem. You'll see where the issues are, where your child has to change his thinking, where he has to change his behavior, and make that part of the definition. Try to make it positive so that it'll apply both in your situation with his brother and with his mother and when he's at school. So try to make it universal so the child knows how to respond, but practical enough so that the child can be able to deal with it in some reasonable ways.
What you want to do here as you're creating the working definition is you want to ask yourself the question, what do I want my child to do instead? Look at the problem area, those problem behaviors. What's the right response? What's the right thing that you're looking for? And use that correct behavior in your definition. This is what we're looking for the child to do instead. And that really fleshes out what the character quality means for that child.
Let's talk about step number 5. Identifying the arena. Now, when we identify the arena, that's going to be very important because the arena is going to help children know where it is we're practicing this. So the arena addresses things like with your brother, or when I give you instructions, or when you're tempted to lie, or when I give you a no answer. Those kind of arenas then make the whole process measurable. You want to be able to see measurable change in a certain length of time. And so that measurable change is very important. How are we going to help children to know when they're making progress? Well, in order to do that, you have to have an arena where we can actually do the measurement. So measurement becomes an important way that we can affirm a child. We can see progress taking place. So identifying this arena is going to be very important.
When we're looking to identify the arena, we're looking for the challenge area for the child. Where is the child challenged? Where is the child tempted to do the wrong thing? And we're going to define that as the arena. So maybe the child has an irritating sister. That annoying sister is really creating problems. It's the challenge for the child. And so that becomes the arena when working with your sister. The arena is the area where we're going to work out this new character quality, where we're going to practice it so it becomes a new pattern.
Another arena may be just that the child is surprised. When the child's surprised by something, like an instruction, it just comes on quickly, or a child comes in and takes something. Sometimes children who are surprised get angry. That becomes the arena. So as much as possible, we're helping children understand the arena, and I find this to be very encouraging for kids because I think many kids aren't aware of the challenges enough. Oh, they know that parents aren't happy with them when they argue or something like that. But to know specifically what the target looks like and to understand the arena puts some hands and feet to this for kids, so kids have some steps now. They have some practical ways they can address this problem in their lives. So you want to look for ways to try to help children grasp this, and identifying arena is important. Now, we get this idea of the arena from the boxing ring. So the boxing ring is inside the heart of a child. That's where the arenas take place. It was Jesus who said, it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so if we can help children recognize that it's inside the arena of their heart that they need to do some work, then we can have some good things take place. So let's work on the arena, identify what it is, help children see that the arena isn't out there in the room with your brother. The arena of being out there in the room with your brother starts in your heart. And if kids can see that the arena exists there, it gives them more control. They don't have to feel like victims. They can start moving on with this solution that you're trying to present to them.
So the battle is really fought within the heart in that arena. But we're going to define this as the area where we're really practicing the qualities. So that may be the morning routines. It may be mealtime. It may be homework. Where is the area where the child is challenged? And that's where we're going to be practicing this new quality with this new definition, the new behaviors that we're looking to develop as a new pattern in the child's life.
Let me give you some ideas here that I think might be helpful. I'm often concerned with the results that I see in counseling in some families. Because here's what happens. A family comes in because they're experiencing a crisis. A child can't follow instructions or has an anger problem or can't accept no as an answer or is being mean to his brother or something like that. He's at like a minus 10 on a scale of 0 to minus 10. And so parents use the approach that I suggest to them. We work on a strategy together. We work through these steps, actually, in the counseling sessions. They go away and practice, and over the course of 3 or 4 weeks, we see the child move from minus 10 to minus 5. And the parents are thrilled. They're seeing progress, things are working, good things are happening. And then they stop working on it because they've seen a little progress and the edge has been taken off and it's not as bad as it used to be. But what happens is the child's still at minus 5. The child hasn't developed the positive quality necessary. Or sometimes they get all the way up to 0, but they stop working. A positive quality is something positive. We want to move our children not from just minus 10 to 0. We want to overlearn this. We want to practice it in new ways. We want to move ourselves from 0 to positive 10. I was working with a young lady this week, and her problem was anxiety. And so I encouraged her with her parents to work on practicing not knowing the answers, because she wants to know everything. She's always bugging her mom about, what are we going to do? And what happens if this happens? And what's going to happen after that? And are you sure this is the time? And so I encourage this young lady to work on practicing not knowing. But the practicing not knowing is going to help her not only take the edge off of her anxiety. If she can work on this over time, this is going to help her move into her adult years in some very practical way. She doesn't have to know all the answers. And when she doesn't know, she can't start imagining what they are, because that's what creates the anxiety. She needs to take those things, put them in a suitcase, and give them to the Lord, or give them to her parents, trust someone else to take the things that she can't do right now. This is a very practical way of addressing anxiety, but these parents will be most successful if they don't stop when the child has just moved to 0. Continue to work on the quality to your child's at a positive 10 or well into the positive territory. So now it's not just a weakness or absence of a weakness, now it's a strength, and your child is developing in a strength in an area where they used to have a weakness and is becoming known with a positive reputation of someone who is able to be self-controlled or someone who is able to experience joy in their heart. All of those things are moving children forward. So don't give up or don't stop this plan or working on it too early. Work it in a lot so that it changes the tendency a child has.
See, the reality is that we're going to start working on a particular quality in a particular arena, but then over time, we want to see that quality grow and expand into all arenas of the child's life. So choosing the arena can help us to be focused as we're developing a new character, but over time, we want to see that character really filled out in the child's life so they're responding in all arenas in a particular way. So that's really helpful to continue working on this quality over time.
Let's talk about the meetings that you have with your child. We're suggesting a meeting at the end of every chapter. And that meeting is an opportunity for you to get together with your child and talk about the issue at hand. These are specific kinds of meetings. These aren't the kinds of meetings you just have regularly, but they're intentional meetings. I would suggest that you want to make them as positive as possible. Sometimes children are so resistant to the meetings that they can't always be positive. And you're going to try, though, as much as you're able, to make them an asset and make them positive for the child and for you. I would suggest that you start the meeting by talking about progress or strengths or thanking a child for something he's done or praising the child for something that you're seeing in her. When you offer that kind of praise, then good things happen. So that kind of a parent-child evaluation meeting, starting with some affirmation, is always a good idea.
As we go through the meeting in this particular chapter, we're going to be outlining the plan with the child. Some of the meetings that you have with your child throughout this book are going to be spontaneous, but this one is most likely going to be a planned meeting because you've done some homework now, you've done some analysis, you've come to some conclusions, and you want to share those conclusions with your child. But again, we're going to do it in a positive way. It's at the meeting of this chapter that you're likely going to share the character quality the child is going to be working on and how we're going to unfold that plan and what it's going to look like in the child's life. So this becomes a significant meeting as we're moving forward with the child.
You might want to, as a formula, share three positive things you're seeing before you start entering into a challenge, but avoid the word but. You don't want to say, son, you're doing great at working with the dog like I asked you to do. I see that you're taking care of your brother better than you were, and you're getting your homework turned in. But as soon as you say the word but, then it counteracts what you've said previously and erases all the affirmation. So you want to say, and I want to continue talking to you about developing this anger management that we're trying to do in your life. When we can do that, then good things will happen. So I have some additional ideas I want to share with you. And then you can launch into your plan or some ideas that will help you to move forward.
I really like that idea. When we use the word but, it kind of changes the focus. This is good, but we have a problem. We don't really want to say that. What we want to say is we're still moving in the forward direction. These things are happening well. We're going to add some more positive things to the plan. So it's moving in the same direction when reveal this new area we want to be working on. Hey, I think this is the next step for you in your development. I think this is going to be really helpful for you now. So keeping that positive focus in our meeting is really strategic.
Let me tell you a couple stories that may be helpful for you as you're moving forward. We had one 7-year-old boy who had a problem being negative, complaining, ungrateful, just a lot of negativity in his responses in life. Seemed to be moping around a lot and unhappy. And so mom determined that the quality she wanted to work on with her son is the quality of joy. So dad and mom worked together to define what that joy is. And the biggest thing that they came up with that was helpful for their son was that joy is a choice. Joy is a choice to celebrate even when things around aren't going well. And that was helpful for this boy because he began to realize that joy is different than happiness. That's what they talk about. Happiness has to do with circumstances, and circumstances aren't always what he likes. In fact, he's often not happy with the circumstances in life. But that's not as important as joy, which is the joy to choose to celebrate. And then they talked about how we can always have joy in our hearts because of what God is doing. And when we see God at work, and we see what God has done for us, and so that joy becomes something that comes from our hearts, where happiness comes from the circumstances. When children get a picture for that, it's very helpful. Another example is the family that was working on developing more sacrificial love in their family. They saw that kids tended to be more selfish, and in order to help them make some changes, they talked about love. But they defined love as love is action. That was their family motto. Love is action. So what that means is that you're going to have to give up something. Whenever you love someone sacrificially, that means you have to give up something. So it was really fun to watch kids jump in with this and start agreeing and thinking of ways that they could put love is action into effect in their home. Those are the kind of ways that we're helping children move forward. We're not just focusing on the negative or focusing on the disadvantages or the bad things going on. We're helping our children look forward and see where they're going, and we're putting hands and feet to it. So this particular session in the chapter, this particular chapter of the book, is very important for defining the problem, but moving from that to defining the solution and moving forward with that.
So we're going to send you off now to do your homework, work on a plan. Again, spend time with the Lord, help him develop this plan in your heart, get it down on paper, and then prepare to meet with your child.
As you pray and ask the Lord to breathe life into this plan, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit does in your life and in your family's life. that God reveals things. He speaks to you in your heart. And as you try to work on specific heart qualities in your life, think about the tendencies that you want to move toward. Think about different ways of thinking and acting toward your children or your mate. And God will do some amazing things in your family through you. God is moving.